Learning comes in many ways. For commentator Reynolds Price, it was his father's introductions.
My father's formal education ended with high school, but his sense of American and world history was always strong, and my best memories of him condense around moments when he took pains to see that I share his sense of the overarching power of the past, and above all, the ongoing force of those men and women who truly bend time. My earliest recollection of his concern comes from 1937, and it's one of the two most vivid memories I have of his care. I was 4 years old. We were visiting his boyhood home in eastern North Carolina when he rose and announced to his sisters that he was taking me out to see Aunt Winnie Williams. My three aunts laughed at his plan. "Aunt Winnie is so old she won't have any idea who you are." Stubborn as ever, Father said, "We won't know that till Aunt Winnie's seen me," and off we went. Like many sons, I was seldom happier than when Father and I were alone in a moving car. That feeling of glad nearness survives with me, but what remains from our actual meeting with Winnie Williams is only the hazy sight of an ancient woman in an upright chair. She has pale, tan skin, with furious tints of a natural blood red in her cheeks. As Father moves me shyly toward her, she reaches out a hand like a bone rake and strokes my forehead, mumbling inaudibly. I reach up and touch her. Back in the car, I ask Father what she said. He tells me she was giving me her blessing. And when I ask why her cheeks are so red, he says, "She's more than half Indian, son, an old woman with Indian blood. She's nearly 100 years old now, and she used to be a slave." In that dim meeting then, in the swelter of a wood-burning tin stove, my father had laid my hand against the two prime American tragedies, the massacre of Indians, the bondage of slaves. And within a year, he'd given me books about both disasters, books which I waited impatiently to read. A decade later, after he'd addicted me to sitting at his side for the evening war news, he took my hand again and touched me to two other quite different women, both white and old, both powerful on the world's great stage. The occasion was the funeral in Raleigh of Josephus Daniels, Woodrow Wilson's Secretary of the Navy. On a rainy winter day, Father took me to the city's old Oakview Cemetery. After we'd watched the coffin sink, Father took my arm and without a word led me quickly toward a black limousine. The windows were rain-streaked, and I couldn't imagine who was inside. Before I could experience the classic adolescent horror at apparent social daring, Father bowed at the near backseat window, and the window lowered. At once I recognized the world's most famous woman, and I heard my father say, "Mrs. Roosevelt, I was your husband's great admirer. This is my son Reynolds." Eleanor Roosevelt smiled, and with kind dignity extended her hand to me. When I released it, she gestured to the older woman beside her. "Reynolds, this is Mrs. Woodrow Wilson." Mrs. Wilson, a famous beauty in her prime, still had the riveting dark eyes and the graceful command with which she'd virtually run the country during her husband's last illness. She nodded, then smiled as brilliantly as if I were the British ambassador, and she said, "Good afternoon, young man." As we left, I remember looking to Father's gravely fulfilled face. He'd tell me about both women tonight, what I'd need to know and learn. Till then, what I had was Mrs. Woodrow Wilson's voice calling me young man. No one had called me a man till that moment. That alone was history, and was caused by my father.
Novelist Reynolds Price teaches English at Duke University in Durham, North Carolina.